It had looked, at first, like those webworm cocoons, the kind that show up in branches at the end of summer. Only instead of white silk, this one was made of long strands of pink flesh, like bubblegum tinsel dripping wet. It hung heavy, dragging the branches down and swaying in the breeze. A dozen tendrils gently brushed the soil. The second she saw it, she knew that it needed her. Joanna approached the mass reverently, her lips parted in awe. When her hand touched the flesh, she felt life pulsing within. When she took her hand away, some of those fine strands clung to her skin. When she carefully removed them, the strands sliced through her like razors, pulling nail-thin slivers of flesh with them. It hadn't bothered her at all, really. Wasn't it only natural for a child to reach for its mother? Even a child with claws? That night, she left the Stop and Shop with one hand wrapped in gauze and the other weighed down by a plastic bag of day-old hot dogs, donuts, and 2 64-ounce cups of congealing slushy syrup. On tiptoes, she offered the donuts to her baby. 2 fleshy proboscises descended, unfurling down and out, resembling the feathered antennae of a moth. They wrapped around the pastry, dividing it, dividing again, the same razor edges that had kissed Joanna's flesh tearing through the glaze. Then, the donut pieces hit the ground, the tendrils waving in disgust. She raised the hot dogs next, one at a time. They were hastily split into coins, rolled up toward the central mass, and brought into baby's body. Tears streamed down her face as she watched her baby take its first bites. Feeding baby the syrup took more coaxing. It could not roll these calories into itself, could not slice them into digestible portions. She knew it needed them, though needed as much as it could get in order to grow up big and strong. In the end, it only took blood. She approached one tendril that hung further than the others, barely visible in the dying light. Her finger was coated in blood and slick pus under her gauze. As soon as she raised it, the tendril twitched to life. Like a dog scenting the air, it rose and sought. Beautiful. What possessed her to unbutton her blouse and unhook the front clasp of her bra, she didn't know. All she knew was that it felt right to pull a breast into the night air, to dab blood on her nipple, to have the tendril loop around her flesh, drawing thin, bleeding lines around her areola. Baby was being so gentle, she knew. It would have taken nothing for these razor wires to lop off her flesh, to expose the veins and ducts and suckle from a gush rather than a trickle. That's how she knew it loved her. As she watched the minute pulses that signaled feeding, its microscopic cilia moving to part flesh and keep the wound from closing, she took the cup of red cherry syrup from the bag. Drop by drop, then, strawful by strawful, she let it trickle down her breast and mingle with the blood. The dyes and colorings traveled through the tendril, flushing baby a deep red. A few tendrils sliced through the bag to get at the blue raspberry syrup. Baby was soon tie-dyed in shades of blue and red and purple. And then baby began to sing. Joanna couldn't see any mouth or opening in baby. The tendrils that had hung limp began to shake and hum. It extended more and more of them, curling the ends into strange shapes. As they moved through the air, they began to resonate, echoing and harmonizing. In a steady crescendo, baby filled the silent woods with a chorus, a cavalcade of frequencies that spun and danced. They slammed into Joanna in waves. No drug that had ever dialed the controls of her brain compared. After many minutes, each too short for her liking, baby unlatched. The tendrils curled back into the heavy cocoon she had first encountered. The longest one, the first she had coaxed with her blood, was rolled into a pendulum and swung, humming contentedly. Joanna fed her baby scraps and sugar every day for weeks. At night, she sat in front of her bathroom mirror and cleaned the shallow cuts. She kindled with new motherhood as she dropped the stained gauze in the toilet and flushed. Every time she returned to that spot in the woods, baby had grown larger until the branches holding it strained under the weight. The mass hung only inches from the ground, and Joanna could hardly contain her joy. But when baby started letting the hot dogs fall to the ground after only a few bites, and when its tendrils began to dig deeper and deeper grooves into her breast, she knew things had to change, that baby needed more from her. Which is why it was such good luck when, coming back from tossing the trash, she saw a fox, whimpering at the edge of the road. Its pelvis and hind legs lay broken on the asphalt, and it was using what little life it had left to twitch towards the line of trees. As if that could save it now. Inspired, Joanna grabbed the flat-bladed shovel out of the janitor's closet. In one swift motion, she rasped the blade under the poor creature. It hissed and mewled. Its eyes staggered in pain. She hardened herself to it, for baby. The fox spent the drive to the woods, bleeding all over her back seat, its scream pitching higher with every mile and pothole and hasty turn. She wondered if, somehow, it knew it wasn't going somewhere nice, if it knew she wasn't that kind of kind. The tie-dye tendrils put the fox out of its misery in seconds. The baby took it in slices, only a little thicker than the machine at the deli counter gave Joanna the uncomfortable perspective of an MRI machine. The cross-section of skull, brain, and spinal cord made her feel distant. Baby's contented hum made it all better, though. And when layers of flesh parted to reveal a protuberance pushing its way out, one that flicked open to stare at her with an amber, vulpine iris, her heart almost stopped with joy.